The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Ladies and gentlemen, it is February 7th, 2018. And before we get started with the news of the week, I want to give a special shout out to our very own Allie Hebert. Happy birthday, Allie. Justin Smart has a question for you.
Oh, my God.
And I think you have the answer today.
Is it yes this time?
I'm 22. Okay?
So the answer is you're good.
Kind of. Yeah, yeah. No, you're solid.
What's up? My name is Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100. I'm going to be the host for the evening. With me is the five-star man, Asa Gray.
Yes.
Allie, birthday princess Hebert.
Hi.
The birthday, is it birthday princess? Is that what you're calling yourself now?
I'm not calling myself any of those.
Or is it the birthday princess?
Is it the birthday babe? Is it the birthday,
beauty?
Birthday beauty? Birthday bear?
It's Allie.
Birthday bear.
Birthday bear! Wow, we are dumb.
Yeah.
That took us like four attempts to get there.
And the big D.
You didn't even get there. He got there.
We were working as a team.
We're a team.
Can you introduce me again?
The big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo. Don't interrupt myself.
Dilly Dokley.
Excuse me, Dalton.
Allie, listen to me, but look at him.
No.
But talk to him and look at me.
Allie, don't look at him. Look at Asa, but listen to me.
Now, Allie, look right at Shannon, but listen to Asa.
Hear Dalton, but look at Asa.
I thought this was a wrestling podcast.
We're going to get there.
All right, so.
No tangents.
That he started it.
No, we don't have Brandon here this week. We're safe. We're safely below the 2 hour mark, I hope. So let's get started with the news. Oh, I just ripped off Seth Meyers.
Starting on a good foot.
Let's just go down the list here of what we got. Jason Jordan is has undergone successful neck surgery.
Yes.
Okay.
Cause we talked about it last week where the reason they lost the tag team championships and he has been not wrestling is because he's been dealing with some sort of injury. I think I said it was a back injury last week, which apparently was incorrect. Because it was like, it was the thing where it was like the next day it came out. It was like it was a neck problem where he was losing strength in his arm. He was having trouble gripping things. So it sounded not good, especially for a professional wrestler.
Especially someone so young.
Right.
Yeah.
So he underwent surgery. I think it was yesterday or the day before. Mm-hmm. And WWE has confirmed, they confirmed that he had surgery and that it was successful. So,
yeah.
We don't have a time frame on when he will return, but boy, this Shield reunion is just super cursed.
It's the cakes, Dalton. I can't you say the other word. It's the cakes, this Shield reunion, because it's gone so poorly.
Oh.
You get what I'm saying? Frank Reynolds it. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Okay. Now you got it.
I was just like, yeah. The cakes.
So I think it was Roman. Who was the guy? Roman got,
May was quarantined because of the meningitis scare.
Mm-hmm. Right. He was quarantined and then Dean Ambrose got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jason Jordan is hurt.
And then there's rumors that Seth Rollins is denying, but of course he is,
right.
That he's working hurt as well.
It's unfortunate too, because we complained before about like, oh, they keep teasing the Shield reunion.
Mm-hmm.
They finally did the full Shield reunion and now they can't because people keep getting hurt.
But right. In total fairness, like ever since they've split up, I think we go maybe 5 months of all three of them healthy at a time. Cause Roman's been hurt a handful of times. Dean's the only one that didn't get hurt until recently.
Mm-hmm.
Rollins was out twice. Where he was out for a substantial amount of, a couple months too, like half a year.
Yeah.
But like, it's been, they have all three, two of them have had really bad past and one just finally caught up to him.
Right.
Injury wise.
And that's, you know, that's really unfortunate for Jason Jordan because he's riding a real wave of, turning the tide of fan perception toward him, you know,
yeah.
As opposed to him just being we don't want him involved. Now it's, we don't like him, but for the right reasons.
He was legitimately becoming one of my favorite parts of Raw.
Right. And now he's, on the shelf for who knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really bad because, you know, we criticized the whole Kurt Angle storyline so much. Like, oh, well, this is terrible. He was doing such a good job with American Alpha. Why wasn't that good enough?
Right.
Like, what was wrong with American Alpha? But he really kind of, you know, carved out a place for himself there in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chad Gable's doing pretty good on SmackDown with Shelton Benjamin. Now that they've got that heel persona kind of going, I like it much more than just American Alpha 2.0.
Absolutely. Gable's getting to show some actual, like, personality. And then Jordan was killing it with that just...
Dad.
D-bag daddy. Like, yeah, just, oh, so gross.
He was, like, one of the bad guys on... Like, I could see him on a teen drama.
And
he was in 13 Reasons Why.
And he was Reason 14.
Yeah.
The suplex.
And it was just it's such bad timing too, cuz like we never like there's no real good time to be injured.
Right.
But the lead up to WrestleMania season, it's real unfortunate.
This is the one you don't want to miss the most.
Especially because it's like, you know, the original rumor that we or the thing that we originally thought was going to happen was Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose.
Right.
Like as a WrestleMania match. And then okay, well you could kind of get away with doing Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins.
That made sense.
Like you had to do that.
You had time to make that work.
Or even something with Jordan Angle.
Right.
Like, you know, they had a different there was a lot of places that that could go, and now that seemingly is entirely off
nothing.
The table. And then and also it's that thing where we talk about seeing our friends get hurt at CCW of like, okay, well this also then affects what Seth Rollins do now.
Right.
Because everybody that he was involved in a storyline with is now hurt.
I'll tell you the first thing I would do if I was Seth Rollins, get some new pants.
You don't like his cane pants?
Ugh, those are the worst. Like, is that agreed upon that those are just the worst wrestling tights in wrestling right now? They're gaudy. Allie, they're ugly. What
I
do you think?
I don't like them.
Nobody likes them.
If they would have never done the burn it down thing and he just started coming out with them, I would be confused. Like, it's stemming off a really dumb thing they added.
When he burned down the WWE headquarters?
Well, oh, I didn't even bring it back that far.
No, just the burn it down that they added.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. You still could have designed them better.
Yeah, because the colors are bad. I mean, it just looks bad.
I don't absolutely hate it. Like,
does it not remind you? Because you and I, we play a lot of 2K.
Yeah.
Does it really not remind you of just a creator? Like, somebody created a wrestler, found the fire, like, a graphic, and just pasted
it
on the
fans?
It
really looks like that. Almost looks like just streamers.
In total fairness, Seth Rollins, even back when he was Tyler Black, straight up looked like a created wrestler half the time with his gear. So, like, and that's why I'm not, it's not the worst thing in the world, because this is the same person that came out as the Kingslayer last year.
I like Kingslayer. That's a cool name.
That is, that's an elite coming out.
I wish I wish that was the name of that finisher that he was used that.
Instead of the Ripcord Knee.
The official name of it was King's Landing.
Yeah.
And I think Kingslayer is a better name for that, but except you wouldn't know that because they only ever called it the knee.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here comes the knee.
Also, just real quick, I didn't put it on the list, but you mentioned Shelton Benjamin, and it reminded me. Did you see what happened with him?
With the gun?
Driving around for 4 days in a rental car with a loaded gun in the glove box that he didn't know was there.
I think it was budget rent a car or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know. He had a loaded gun in his
glove box.
He posted about it, and I love, do you see Randy Orton's reply?
Yeah.
It was literally just like, F, dude.
Yeah. But he full on said it, like, not PG.
Not PG just, at all.
Because, I mean, that's the correct response to that.
Because, yeah, Benjamin was absolutely right. Like, this is a time and place where that could not only cost him his professional career, that could cost him his life.
Yeah.
Like
I'm not trying to be funny, but African-American pulled over, cop sees a gun in the glove box.
I don't know. That's not my gun. I don't know how that got there.
Right. Of course it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. So that I just, but holy crap.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So wait a minute. How did they find this?
He opened the glove box.
Yeah.
Like that one bit.
No. Yeah. Imagine how he felt.
Yeah.
So
I would have not have told a single soul.
Just drove it right back to budget.
I rode it back to budget. Can I get one with cruiser control, please?
No, I feel like he wanted to he needed to point out the fact that, hey, like, maybe check for paraphernalia.
What do you do in a situation like that? Like, you're a celebrity too.
Yeah.
And you're an African American celebrity. And I'm not trying to be funny, but you
get
in the car and you open up the glove box, there's a gun. What do you do? Do you call the police?
Honestly, I think that's what you do. I think that's what I would try. I would hope to have the word with like, hey, so I'm driving this rental car. I opened the glove compartment and I found this.
Yeah.
It's not mine. I'm not like.
I'm outside right now with my hands up off
right.
the wheel.
I'm 30 feet away.
Yeah.
I want you to remove the gun and do whatever you need to it. And then I just want to get back in my rental car and call it a day.
I want to go wrestle. That's what I do. I'm a wrestler.
I do feel like his first response was Randy Orton's response on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that would have been my response.
Yeah. That's
and then I would have went to the group chat, been like, guys, you won't believe what just happened.
Just found a gun in my glove box. He also, I think Randy Orton posted a hashtag that was like free budget rentals for life or something.
God, I hate Randy Orton. So
no, I love him.
Moving on. Triple H is now in charge of 205 Live, as Hunter said earlier. That's why it's good now. Or
no,
it feels better now.
That's legitimately what it is. Is like the PW Insider was, the article was like, so people have noticed the last few weeks have felt way more like the CWC and less like, you know, this character based Monday Night Light. And it's because Vince has stepped away and has entirely passed over the reins to Triple H. And that's what, and so that's how we're getting like match of the year candidates in this early in the year with just crazy.
Maybe that's one of the better things about the XFL is that Vince will be distracted with it and won't put as much time into his other babies.
Well, he said, he's already said that it, like, it won't change any of his day to day with Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. So, I mean, like,
cause like Vince doesn't have a hand in NXT. Like, he literally only deals with the main shows.
Right.
So he's probably just like, ah, get Triple H.
Yeah,
like,
so it would make sense to for Triple H to step in and kind of do this, which is great because like the last, if you go back and compare this 2 weeks versus the show where, you know, Enzo is champion, it is wholly different where, yes, there is a lot more character, but the wrestling is way better because it's also, they're not having to fit these style matches, but also still do the full Zotrain thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it also helps that they're doing another single elimination tournament.
Do you see who's on next week? Mark Andrews
against
Ozawa. Oh, I'm super excited about that.
So when was the last time Triple H fought? Was it at the Survivor Series?
Yeah.
Yes.
At this point, with Triple H being in charge of both 205 Live NXT, do you see this as, if not retiring, as close to retiring as possible?
No.
Or do you think he should?
No. I mean, this is no disrespect to anyone involved with 205 Live, but I feel like 205 Live doesn't add that much to Triple H's plate. Whereas NXT is an entire brand that he's going, like, that he's working with. 205 Live, you have people who have established themselves either on the indie scene, or not even that anymore, because that was the Cruiserweight Classic. You have people who've established themselves already either on the main roster or in NXT.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, yes, it is another hour of television, but he has writers, like you same with NXT. So I don't feel like it's that much. I genuinely think we're going to get some sort of announcement for him wrestling at WrestleMania this year.
I do too. Yeah.
And if this isn't his last one, it would not surprise me even a little bit.
And if you're talking about, 205 Live and you're talking about that, you have to talk about the Itami thing real quick. A lot of people are speculating that Itami might be out after a cryptic tweet he posted. He actually followed that up. Did you hear about this tweet?
Mm-mm.
So he lost to, spoiler, is this a spoiler, Dalton, or is this already?
No, it aired last night.
No, you're good.
So Itami lost to Roderick Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And after he did, he tweeted out, it just says, like, I'm done, or it's over. He said it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were speculating, okay, with him vocally apparently wanting to go back to Japan when his contract is up, they thought maybe this was him going out. Maybe he asked for his release or something like that. He tweeted again today saying, it's not done yet or something like that.
But not done yet.
Yeah.
That was 6 hours ago.
So we don't really know what's up with Itami. I would say that I don't think he's going anywhere because they have presented him as a pretty big deal in 205 Live. But with Neville walking out, It's not beyond the realm of possibility that Itami might have asked for his release so he could go back to Japan.
I mean, it's not impossible, but I feel like with the way Itami has presented his character over the last few
months, this fits.
Especially in NXT, whatever the next match that Roderick Strong has, we'll see Itami, would be my guess. So like it's, you know, his stint in the tournament is over, but his quest for the Cruiserweight Championship isn't.
I think this is one of the problems you have whenever you have the wrestlers have their own social media, that they not only run themselves, but that they also do in character, you know, kind of split. Because then it can kind of get confusing about what's like what their real opinion is versus like what are they saying to further storylines. Because WWE does a lot of that where they further storylines via social networking. And I'm not a big fan of that personally. As we've talked about before, that kind of feels like, again, when you watch Star Wars, you shouldn't have to go watch all the supplements, you know, to understand what's happening.
Right.
It should be presented to you on the show you're watching. But, you know, it no one will ever have as good of a social media as, say, Luke Harper. you know what you're in for.
He tweeted something different.
No, don't tell me that. You're breaking my heart.
He did. I need to find it. But it was something, I want to say it was something about the tag team championships, but I don't remember.
That's sad. He had a streak going. He had the undefeated streak. I wanted to see him go to WrestleMania to defend that.
Okay, yeah, so yesterday, Luke Harper, lucky that Raw is headed to San Jose next week and not the Bludgeon brand. Rowan told me he doesn't like the look of these two. Hey, San Jose Sharks, tell the boys to keep their heads up. And it was a picture of two of the San Jose Sharks who very much look like Harper and Rowan.
That is so unusual considering he's only tweeted the same thing out for the past how many years?
But you'll be happy to notice that 15 hours ago, Luke Harper tweeted, "It's Wednesday." You know what that means.
So, and we usually don't cover it on the spot, but now that you've mentioned Twitter, I've looked at my Twitter account. And apparently the next title match between Almas and Gargano, it's going to be title versus NXT career. So I'm assuming one of them is getting moved up, and it's probably not going to be Almas.
I don't want either of that to happen.
Because we want Ciampa, Gargano in NXT.
I mean, I kind of don't, though, because it would make the decision of which Saturday night show to go to a little easier.
Yeah.
Wait, since we're talking about Gargano and Almas, mm-hmm. Let's talk about, apparently, and I don't know what's the, who gave him this? They got the first.
Meltzer.
Oh, Meltzer gave him the first 5-star WWE match since Punk Cena, yep. Money in the Bank 2011.
Yes. And it was such a great match. Like,
do you agree with that, though, that that's the first 5-star match since 2011?
No. I don't, but it's Uncle Dave and his, he'll never say that he has it, but he has a bias.
Yeah, he definitely does.
But so, I don't know. I'm trying to, like, cause in my, and again, but it's all subjective, so you can't really say, it's like, well, your opinion's wrong.
Right.
But like.
Cause it's your opinion.
Exactly. And so, and it's his opinion, and it's just.
And
wrong.
He's very knowledgeable, but like.
And he will always try to justify it too. Yeah. Of like, oh, well, here, the reason why it didn't get the full five is because of XYZ. I don't remember what his excuse was, because I genuinely thought that, Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream was gonna be a 5-star match.
I thought Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne at that NXT last year, that was a 5-star match in my opinion. And that last part that I just said is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you're not Dave Meltzer.
Yeah, like, and it's one of those things like.
And you never will be.
No, and because he's him, it's just one of those things like he has put it such a high regard in the internet wrestling world and just the wrestling world in general. Like, yeah, it's all subjective, but he's for the most part, universally agreed with. Like, not a lot of people hate him.
I mean, he's very divisive within the wrestling community.
He's like Jim Cornette. Just not near to the level of assholeness.
Yeah, like, but people don't dislike Meltzer because of the things he says as much as just like,
his.
More people think that he shouldn't be as important as he is to the wrestling industry.
Meltzer?
Yeah. A lot of people don't think that he is as trustworthy a news source as a lot of people do.
Mm.
But they have various reasons, whereas Jim Cornette is very much, it's his personality.
Right.
And the things that, and the way that he treats and talks about people, whereas people really just disagree on whether or not Meltzer is as credible as everyone thinks he is, or if he deserves to be that credible.
I was always a fan of Bill Apter. You know, when everybody's always talked about Dave Meltzer, I thought Bill Apter was like the top in wrestling, like journalism.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Meltzer was so important until, probably the young, because you guys told me like the Young Bucks named their finisher after him, didn't they?
Yeah.
The Meltzer driver?
One of them, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that Dave Meltzer was so highly regarded until you guys told me that and then started putting the pieces
but
together.
But Apter's also a big name. Like, it's not.
Apter's huge. Like, Apter, I think, is kind of untouchable. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to like legacy of wrestling journalism, whereas Dave Meltzer, like you said, very divisive still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But Meltzer's also been doing this for decades now.
Right.
Too. So it's just that it is just that thing where like people will have the source that they prefer to go to.
God, I remember when I first got into wrestling and, you know, the internet was fresh. It was fresh off the line. I
was it 13?
13 years ago?
Or is it 12?
It was longer than that, actually. Oh,
well, that's
showing my age there. but I would go to like, what was it? PW Torch or one of, but it was like Jeremy Borash. I remember Jeremy Borash was on one of these things. And then when I heard that he was like involved in WCW and TNA and stuff, it was cool. You know, those don't do those boards anymore. I mean, they do, but you have like 4-1 Mania. It just has the biggest assholes and no offense. I go to 4-1 Mania, but some of the, like this Watry dude almost said a word I didn't want to say and I'm glad I didn't. I don't like him at all. Like a lot of journalism in general, wrestling or otherwise, has become so antagonistic where it's not just enough to go, I didn't like the match or something like that, but they have to go after the people and talk about why they're terrible.
Yeah. It's one of those things. And like whenever you're sport versus sports entertainment, sport is more of a black and white situation. LeBron James scored 38 points and the Cavaliers won 120-100. Whereas like you have a wrestling match where it's predetermined. Now what you're judging is
entertainment
versus like what entertains you versus what entertains somebody else. And that's why that journalism is kind of, I don't want to say garbagey.
Murky.
Yeah, yeah, because murky. I like murky a lot more.
Because you're absolutely right. You could say, like, if someone said in an opinion piece, LeBron James is an awful player, you could give stats to prove why they're wrong.
Well, and that's,
whereas wrestling, if I said, if Asa said Hulk Hogan is a terrible wrestler, and I presented him with stats of, well, he won these titles and this and that, yeah, but it's predetermined.
Right.
So that doesn't really count.
It's you know? The thing where, like, but there are metrics that you can judge because it's the Cornette argument of the Young Bucks are killing the business. The Young Bucks are terrible for wrestling.
Yeah.
But then you look at the money that they're generating not only for themselves, but for every company that they work for. And it's like, no, they have this much, like, they're empirically, like, you can prove, like, you can track those numbers.
Right.
Whether or not you like their style of wrestling, because that's what his argument comes down to.
Right.
He doesn't like what the Young Bucks do in the ring. But he tries to equate that to, oh, well, they're just empirically bad at what they do.
They don't draw.
Right.
Never draw a dime.
Hot topic.
Also, just a real quick aside that goes with the Gargano Almas getting the 5-star ranking. Gargano now has the highest rated singles and tag team match on cagematch.net, which is a website that kind of gathers like different reviewer scores and like fan submitted scores.
It's like Metacritic for wrestling.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Granted, it's like, I haven't been there. It kind of, I mean, in theory, yes. But then you think of like the people who actually have very strong opinions about that kind of like down to the percentage point of who gets what score. Miss me with that. It's the same thing with video games and like any other media. Like when people care super passionately about a thing and then you have to like assign it a number of numerical value to that thing, you're going to upset so many people.
Right.
And granted, yeah, there is the recency bias because this website, I don't know if this website was even around whenever like Taker Michaels, because that's what it beat it. That's what. That used to be the number one rated match. So, but that's just kind of a cool because it's DIY versus Revival.
Great match.
Highest rated
tag. Match was so good.
With opinions like that, like it's all subjective. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, what might be my favorite match of all time, I think is the greatest, is clearly maybe not be somebody else's. And nobody's really wrong.
Well, I mean, we had a wrestler on here months ago that said he hated Shawn Michaels.
Was that Cody?
Yeah. Like,
well, and it's, and to,
and so it's one of those things like, it's just like, yeah, no, like it's all opinion.
As long as you can go in and realize that your opinion is not better or worse than someone else's, like that's where the problem goes, is where, especially when you're online and you have the, you know, anonymity of the internet, you can really, you just, no, well, you clearly don't know what you're talking about because my opinion is the best opinion.
Right.
That's why I like the way we do like the end of year award stuff, is because we just kind of present.
And I also, I feel like I hate journalism that's so attacking. You know, I really wish that when we talked about stuff, because a lot of the times when people talk about things and they go so full at it, let's take like Sarge versus Van Horn, not this show, but two shows ago, the last show in November, the Delta show.
Yeah.
A lot of people told me like, that was awful. That was just, they're terrible. That was terrible. And it's like, okay, it might not have been the best match ever, but like, ease up on the that's terrible stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, I think very few things in life are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I would never say a movie like, that's the worst movie I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the worst movie that ever existed.
Unless
it's clearly it's not.
Because Birdemic is around.
Well, even Birdemic has value. Like, it's in an ironic sense.
It's factually a movie.
Yeah. But like, it's so easy to just say, well, that's the worst thing ever when you, it's like calling someone Hitler. It's like saying someone, like, comparing someone to Hitler. Like, no, that's just over the top and it's for shock value and it's terrible. It needs to end.
Because Birdemic is around. That's obviously if Hitler was a movie.
If Hitler was a film and he was a bird,
it would be Birdemic. Yeah.
And it's moving on. Rey Mysterio says that there's a big chance he can return to WWE.
Yes.
Yes.
He did an interview with the
He was looking real jacked.
Oh, I can't remember what the name of the magazine was.
He was looking real slim. That was what it was.
Was it the Mirror? I don't
Slim and Jack.
He did an interview with a UK publication and talked about just kind of like both sides are trying to work towards an agreement. Someone on Reddit pointed out, it's like, well, if you read between the lines, this is basically, he wants a part-time schedule, WWE wants him to work more. So are they going to either pay him enough for him to think a full-time schedule is worth it, or will WWE give him a part-time schedule, and is he going to take the money that comes with a part-time schedule?
I think he earned a part-time schedule.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, if anyone does, I think he deserved a part. But I also see WWE side of things because, yes, Rey Mysterio has absolutely earned a part-time schedule. Like, even like a Chris Jericho style schedule when he does like an extended run.
Like 5 months at a time, take 3 months off, come back.
But that said, I can totally see WWE wanting him to go all out because Rey Mysterio is someone that you can build a show. Like, if you put him on 205 Live, he would be the anchor of that show. Yeah. Put him on Raw. He's an immediate, if not, world title once Lesnar is no longer involved in the world title picture. Like, so SmackDown. Yeah. He can immediately have matches for the world title. If you don't want to put him for the world title, he can immediately handle your secondary title. If you pair him with one of the 205 Live guys, immediately go credible tag team.
Well, so is he under the 205 Live? Or is he under 205?
I mean, whether or not he is in real life, they can easily bill him as 205 pounds.
If you brought Rey Mysterio into 205 Live, one, mm-hmm. huge shot in the arm, he could be the Brock Lesnar to your 205 Live. He really could be. He could mm-hmm. wrestle a limited schedule, and he is so legendary that people would buy him as a no one can beat him type thing. You
right.
know? Because Rey Mysterio is 43.
Yeah.
He's 43. He's not a spring chicken. I mean, that's not old by any means.
But for wrestling. For wrestling and for what he's done, like the surgeries he's had.
The style
and like,
he wrestles.
And what yeah. he's put his body through. Yeah, that's.
I want to just point out, because this makes me laugh, that I looked up Rey Mysterio, right? And it gave me his age. And here is the questions. It says people also ask under Rey Mysterio, who is the Kalisto? How was Rey Mysterio died?
How was Rey Mysterio died?
That's my. I'm going to end it on that one. That's who is the Kalisto and how was Rey Mysterio died? If you're one of the fans that have asked how was the Rey Mysterio died,
good news, he didn't.
His build weight is 175. So
yeah,
and I mean he looks better now than what he did 4 years ago.
Oh, he looks amazing mm-hmm. at the Rumble.
Yeah, he looks like so good. It was that thing where it's like I was really kind of disappointed that Raw and SmackDown both happened and he didn't. Show up.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, why?
That was one of the best surprises. One of the best surprise entrants in Rumble memory
yeah.
for me.
And it was so good considering the 2014 Rumble where he came out at 30.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which again was, and he was booed out of the building, but it wasn't.
It wasn't his fault.
It wasn't yeah. because people didn't like Rey Mysterio. It was because he was not Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Right. They should have just put a big beard on him instead of come out as Daniel under the mask. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The American Dragon.
What I love about Rey Mysterio is he's one of my favorite, like, and my God, to know he's only 43 and to think that I used to watch him on WCW when I was a kid.
He debuted in 89.
How old was he? 80, if he's 89.
I mean, 42, do the math. I mean, I can't. I'm not good with numbers.
Like, I love how you say that so condescendingly. Like,
I also, I can't. I was very quick to follow up with it.
But like, I can't name any other.
He started, I think the WCW status, he started when he was 13.
So that was 29 years ago.
Well, did he start in ECW?
No, he started in he did start in ECW. He really started in Mexico.
Right.
But, I think they always said he started when he was like 13, 16 in that ballpark.
That doesn't surprise me, man.
No, yeah.
It's the story Jericho tells in his, I think it's his first book, where this little kid comes up to him and is like, hey, I'm going to be a wrestler. It's like, okay, sure you are, buddy. And then like fast forward and it's ready to turn and say, that was Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
One of the best careers that I can remember. One of the greats in WCW. Mm-hmm. I love him. I mean, of the cruiserweights at WCW. Rey Mysterio was tops.
Yeah, yeah. Thing of it is like, for every Halloween Havoc match with Eddie Guerrero, there was the lawn dart, or there was making him take his mask off.
The lawn dart is one of the most infamous. I mean, I agree with
you. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the Jerry, what Jerry Lynn said. Right. I was on the cover of a video game. I was taking the move. Like, yeah, no.
Guy bought that game today and we pointed out to him. We just talked to Jerry Lynn. He mentioned this.
So Jerry Lynn's going to be at WrestleCon and we have another copy of it. I think I'm going to buy it.
Remember me?
I know it's not a good moment, but you got to admit, Big Show swinging the stretcher or the backboard against the turnbuckle.
One of the most terrifying things I've ever seen in wrestling. So gross. Have you seen that, Allie?
No.
Rey Mysterio's on like a stretcher.
I'm on it, guys.
He's strapped down.
Yeah, to the backboard.
Dalton will show you. While he's doing that, we do want to point out that this is very important. 5,000 more Rusev Day calendars have been made.
Yes.
And what an honor for Allie to share her birthday with Rusev Day.
Son of a...
Did I steal it? Did I steal your thing? Oh, no. No, Asa. Asa, no. Mad. Asa, no, please.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, you have legit hurt in your eyes right
now.
I can pause it and edit that out.
It is very
dead
uncomfortable
to
in
me.
Here.
Dead to me.
It's very uncomfortable.
On the happiest of Rusev days.
How could you do this to me on Rusev Day?
I didn't know.
Oh,
Dalton, you got that thing yet?
No, I mean, no, you guys keep talking. I'm not going to play the audio. I don't want WWE to come after
us.
No,
there's the, you don't need to play the audio. You just show her the video.
It's a visual.
Well,
see,
yeah,
there's a button on the side of your fancy little iPhone there that the Android invented. And then they took it. That changes the audio, levels.
Nice phone. Where'd you get it? The iPhone store?
The toilet store?
The toilet store.
No, yeah, cause apparently they initially made like 2,500 and they sold out of those calendars so fast that they ordered 5,000 more to be made.
Because so I'm assuming it's just a picture of Rusev every month, and
it's a picture of Rusev every month and every single day. Like, so you know when you look at a calendar and it's, you know, like this Monday, it's Lincoln's birthday.
Right.
It's every day has that listing, but it's Rusev Day.
God, that's amazing. Allie, what'd you think of that?
No.
Yeah.
That's the correct
response. Because he also got dropped on his face afterwards.
Yeah, Ray, the good thing about Ray was he was really small. And since he was in with the big guys, they could just throw him around like
that's a good thing.
Like, you remember, did you ever watch The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? And yes. When they throw DJ Jazzy Jeff out?
Yeah.
He was that rag doll.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Only he never got thrown into a ring post.
Dalton, or I'm sorry, not you. You're
He's
not
an
the
actual
one that knows.
Person.
Asa. What does Downstate All In mean? Because I know Downstate. Downstate's the guys that did Randy Orton's music, right?
They're doing, they did Miz's music. They did, they were WWE's go-to, like, outside band for a stretch. But they are going to be at the All In event that, Kenny and the Bucks and Cody are doing.
Cool.
Let me find that for sure because I saw a tweet, but.
We need to figure out when that's going to be and where.
It's in September, but they still haven't announced where yet.
Yeah, we're going to need to go to that if it's in Chicago.
God, you guys are just going everywhere. You're world travelers at this point.
See, but here's the thing, though.
Yeah, because we can't go to L.A.
Why?
I don't want to drive to L.A.
I mean, you could fly. They have these things now called cars.
Planes?
We live in Missouri, so you need a passport to get on one of those.
See?
That's true. Yeah.
Well. So I don't want to drive to L.A.
Asa.
I think it looks like they actually do Cody's music.
Like his WWE music?
Mm-hmm.
I was about to ask.
Not his WWE music, his Bullet Club. Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that would make sense why they would be at the All-In event. I can't find that actually confirmed. I swear I saw them say it on Twitter. So maybe this isn't 100% true.
If they do a live music performance for him to walk out to, that would be amazing.
So that would be pretty cool.
I have two segues. One for... If we mention Chicago,
okay.
And one for Cody Rhodes. Which way do we want to go?
Let's the Chicago one.
So speaking of Chicago, Chicago's favorite son, CM Punk, the big rumor is that he is going to fight Mike Jackson at UFC 225 in Chicago. And I don't know, has that been confirmed?
It has not been confirmed, but because everyone is assuming that Punk is going to fight because Dana White has said he's open to him coming back. CM Punk wants to do it again. Where else, like, it would make so much sense for Punk to do it in Chicago, that would guarantee huge buys, at least locally. But the thing about his rumored opponent is
he's 1-0.
Yeah, no, he's 0-1.
Oh, I flipped it.
Yeah, he's 0-1. He's lost to Mickey Gall, who is, you know, the person who beat CM Punk.
Right.
And he lost to him in less time than CM Punk did. So this would legitimately be, from what I have seen, is he is a journalist who also trains and fights. So this very much
is this beneath CM Punk?
And that's the thing.
No.
If it's like, it's not beneath CM Punk, but it's kind of like, okay, you kind of embarrassed us by going down like that. So here's
a freebie.
Here's a squishier target.
So this has to
and
be undercard
that, like,
as hell.
And it's hard. I know that's probably going to come across as like super disrespectful. And I do not mean it disrespectfully. But it's that thing where I genuinely don't think that CM Punk is a name that is going to draw a lot of mainstream attention the second fight.
Right.
And
especially
so,
the way the first fight ended.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I know a lot of MMA fans are very upset that this could get a shot on the UFC card because there are more deserving, fighters, especially they're even more, in their opinion, more deserving Chicago-based fighters. But I mean, I'm happy for CM Punk. Like, I've said that before. This is what he wants to do, and he seems to be taking it very seriously. But that said, it's like, this kind of seems like a questionable pick for a major UFC pay-per-view.
Yeah. That.
Because apparently the first time he fought Mickey Gall is he was a replacement. Like, Jackson was.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm trying to look at it. Like, I'm trying to figure out who Mike Jackson is.
Yeah, I looked up Mike Jackson. Guess what I got? Michael Jackson.
Well, I mean, I put in Mike Jackson UFC.
Oh, I should have put the UFC at the end. Yeah. That
well, I put Mike Jackson. It was either MMA popped up or UFC.
I'd love to watch this fight, but I'm kind of concerned that, yeah, it's like they're throwing CM Punk a bone. They're throwing a bone saying, like, okay, here's someone you can beat. And then what happens, Ali? What happens if he can't beat this guy? Is CM Punk done in UFC?
Will he make more money again?
It's the Ronda Rousey thing.
He made a lot of money for that first fight.
Yeah, but will he make money for them? Because if he doesn't make money for them, they won't put him on. When Ronda Rousey lost two fights, they said she was done. Her career's over. Losing two fights.
Who said that?
A lot of people said that.
Yeah, a lot. Like, maybe but not necessarily
did the UFC say that?
Dana White said she was done.
Yeah, he did.
Dana White. And I'm not saying he's right. Please don't get me wrong. I don't agree
with him. That's, you didn't say those words. He
did. But I mean, like, if Punk loses twice, especially to a guy who should be an easy fight, no offense to that guy either. But if he loses this fight, like, I could see them just going, okay, we gave you a chance. It's not working out. Sorry. And then where does Punk go after that? The answer is he doesn't have to go anywhere, because I'm sure Punk's well off enough that he could just enjoy his life at this point.
And that's what, like,
he doesn't have to go back to wrestling.
The infamous podcast.
Right.
Like, he talked about that. He was like, I don't have to do any, like, I've made enough money to not have to worry about it anymore.
Right.
And, like, the WWE money alone, like, he outsold John Cena. He has enough money on his own. Like,
and he also seems like he's someone who was very smart with it. He, like, he didn't
waste it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't think he blew it almost Pepsi.
Good for him. Just a tattoo.
Good for him.
Yeah.
On to other great wrestlers that we love. The Miz. Miz signed a 4-year deal, so he's going to be around WWE for at least another four years.
Yeah, yes. Good. And yeah.
The interesting part of this story is apparently he negotiated down to 4.
They wanted longer.
WWE wanted to sign him to a longer contract, and he signed a 4-year deal, makes perfect sense. Yeah. He's got a kid on the way. Like, he's already going to miss, you know, those first few years. He has this TV show on USA. Like,
he's creeping up on 40.
Yeah, and he's like, he's. Again, not old by any means, but in the world of pro wrestling and the toll it takes on your body, it makes sense that he would want, he's thinking shorter term, which, because there's, like, it's not to say that he doesn't sign an extension or another 4-year contract after that.
Right.
Or whatever, but for now, he's kind of thinking, you know, because the only breaks the man has taken was to film a movie.
Right.
Which isn't a break.
Right. Which is doing something else. So, I mean, and if anyone deserves, like, if anyone has deserved kind of an extended break, it would be The Miz.
And they've also got that big rumor that he's in line for a huge push, which he kind of already is because he's the IC title holder again.
I'm still super upset that they left him or they moved him to Raw. He should have stayed on SmackDown.
He was shining.
That was a world title heel right there.
Exactly. And, you know, and he's a world champion on either show, but we knew it was never going to happen with Brock Lesnar holding the Universal Championship.
And I think we talked about this on Saturday when we went to Stride. The second Lesnar, that belt gets off him, that world title picture at Raw is going to blow up.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic title picture. Mm-hmm. But right now it's not because Lesnar has it.
And that's why I just like watching Raw. It's 3 hours long. People are getting hurt or people are being underutilized or it's hard to care because I know where the title is.
Right.
Like, I get the attraction part, but at the same time, it's making everything else uninteresting to me.
That's what I hate whenever they do these long-term plans that leaks to the internet and then they never change the plan. Like when the plan was for Roman Reigns to win the title. And now the plan is that Roman Reigns will beat Brock Lesnar for the title at Mania. And you keep seeing them plant the seeds of it. And we've known this for a year that this was the plan.
Yeah.
The internet has known. Mm-hmm. And they keep planting the seeds for it where it's so obvious that's what they're doing. Roman Reigns is in the Elimination Chamber. The person that wins the Elimination Chamber gets to face the champ at WrestleMania or whatever. And you hope they change it. You go, okay, well, if everyone knows it's going to happen, if you told me the storyline for Star Wars, I know we keep going to Star Wars, but if you told me the storyline for Star Wars and then expect me to sit through the movie, like, it's not going to be the same.
I'm the person out of like all, and I don't like speaking for Allie, but like I'm the one that you can tell me the spoiler of a video game or a movie, and I will still go see it happily. But like with wrestling and the Roman thing, it's just you forced it down my throat so many times, like, because this has happened before.
Yeah,
just give me something else,
something different.
And again, we're not saying anything negative about Roman Reigns.
No, I love Roman
himself.
Reigns.
It's the
just,
writing.
It's just, yeah, it's the storytelling, and it's like how many times they've tried to tell the story already, and just like the pushback it's gotten every single time and continues to get. And it's just like, man, there are other options that you could explore, but you're just
keep going to the well.
To. Yeah.
Braun, the horse is rotting.
Yeah. Braun, Joe, Balor,
Finn,
Miz.
Like, there's so many places you can take that. Because he could take him to Disney World.
You know another name? Elias.
He's in the Elimination Chamber.
I'm putting so, like, I'm all in on Elias.
Yeah.
Like, I've always liked him. I liked him on NXT. Mm-hmm. Like, and then just, like, the weird, him just wandering around backstage.
I remember, because that was around the time that you and I would watch Raw together. Yeah. And, like, the first couple times, like, is some dude cosplaying as the Drifter? And then you were like, no, I think that's really him. It's like, what the hell is
that's
he doing
here?
That's
just him. They just aren't acknowledging it.
Yeah.
I love
Surreal.
Elias. It's so cool.
Also, Miz, he's going to become the number two.
Okay, so
in combined ranks.
I was going to say, let me say this because I realized the way I typed this.
I was going to get it. I think I get it, but I'm going to give it to you.
It looked like I might have had a stroke midway through. So, in what is it? In 2 days.
He will become number two in days.
Okay, yeah,
four days. Because right after that, it says 4 days.
Okay, so in 4 days, Miz will become the number two longest cumulative Intercontinental Championship holder. So he will have held the championship for the most amount of time spread across all of the different reigns.
Right.
And then he is 80-something days.
82.
He's 82 days away from passing the number one. And he'll become...
Is that Honky Tonk Man?
No, Honky Tonk has the longest single reign.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of who it is. Because he's about to pass Don Morocco for number two.
Love Don Morocco.
Can't remember who number one is.
I'm on it.
Oh, that's going to kill me. And honestly, when you consider the fact that, like, two of his reigns have been one day, it's kind of nuts. But good for Miz. I love the Miz. I think he's grown into just, like, that initial championship run between him winning the U.S. title and then winning Money in the Bank and then cashing in on Randy Orton. Is just some of the most heartfelt, like, you can't...
Pedro Morales.
Holy crap. How did I not...
I couldn't think of it either, if it makes you feel any better.
But I love The Miz. I think he has earned every single thing that he's gotten in pro wrestling. And I know that's a thing you're not supposed to say about people, but...
Is he as good as Don Morocco?
I mean, who is?
Don Morocco? Is that your husband? Don Morocco?
No, I know what you're about to say.
Fuji Vice, best show of all time. Guaranteed. All right. Now, the other way I was going to go with that other one was I was going to talk about Cody Rhodes. Kenny Omega versus Cody Rhodes at Supercard of Honor. Coming off of that great build-up for the Bullet Club. Dalton's getting antsy in a seat here.
I want to sit down with someone either in one of the Young Bucks or someone who's in charge of writing New Japan and Ring of Honor. Because I have to know, how do they get... to do, because the Bullet Club gets in the Elite, really, get to get away with doing so much weird stuff that then becomes canon on their actual show. Hangman Page being kidnapped and tortured by the WWE and missing a match.
Yeah, you
until,
didn't know that?
They did that?
Yep.
Yeah. There, it was for the Trios Championship, or the three-man championship, whatever you want to call it. But Hangman had been abducted. No one knew where he was. And if you watch Being the Elite, you know he was being tortured by the WWE stooge. So it gets to the night of their title defense, and it's the Young Bucks by themselves, and they're like, we don't have a partner, it's gonna be a handicap match. Hangman Page then jumps the rail, bound and gagged, like he has his hands tied together and his feet tied, and he's having to, like, hop around, and he's got... because he escaped.
Right.
And then he wrestled the match in jeans, in street clothes.
I think in, like... I'm gonna guess this... But I think they tell him, hey, this is what the Being the Elite thing is, and we really want to put this over on our web show.
Right.
So we're going to do it.
Or is it the opposite where they're like, hey, this is what we're going to build towards, and they just use that to do... And you have to keep in mind, like, this goes way back, too, with Marty Scurll joining the Bullet Club and kicking out Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Like, they've done this stuff a lot, and I'm just fascinated to know which way that goes.
Yeah, I've yet to see Marty Scurll. Well, I mean, you know, he's stopped time in a match before a few times.
Yeah, he did. But it goes back to you because I want to say like two or three episodes of Being the Elite ago, Nick started having these premonitions,
mm-hmm.
About a match that had never been seen before. And then every time he got one, it would be a little bit more and more because it's Colt Cabana and, the other ROH commentator. My brain is off tonight. I'm sorry.
Don Callis.
No, that's the younger guy. I can't think of it. I can't remember his name. But so they're talking, but they're like hyping up a match that's like about to happen. And I swear, if they are wearing the same clothes,
they will be
Supercard of Honor. You know they will be. Oh, and they have like fans there because it's like they're hyping up the match that's about to happen.
Oh, that'll be easy. Be like, oh, you mean there's a bunch of people wearing Bullet Club shirts? They're going to be standing behind us anyway.
I feel so bad that I couldn't remember the name Joel Gertner because I was going to say Joel Gertner just as a joke. The quintessential sud muffin.
Jesus, I hate you.
And then it's announced on Being the Elite that it's Cody Rhodes versus Kenny Omega in a Bullet Club Civil War.
The Bullet Club is fine.
Bullet Club is fine. But the Cody's like almost solo episode of Being the Elite.
Yeah.
He's such an 80s movie douchebag. I love it.
I mean, you know what he reminds me of? You remember the episode of It's Always Sunny where they're on the mountain and Dennis is the ski, he reminds me of Dennis in that episode. That's him. He's just that douchebag 80s rich boy that everyone hates.
And that's exactly what he is. And you know, the whole like, oh, spend it now, you make more later. It's so good. It's so good. And I'm super excited for that match to happen. Yeah. And like to see where the whole Bullet Club split, Kota Ibushi,
as long as
Golden Lovers reunion.
I just don't want this, and I know it's not because I truly believe the writing will be better, but I don't want this to turn into NWO Hollywood versus NWO Wolfpack, where it's like, well, here's the Bullet Club with Cody Rhodes and his team. Here's the Bullet Club with,
they're gonna
with
do
Kenny
that.
Omega. No, see, don't
I,
do that.
No, see,
if they do it in irony, or ironically, as a parody? Yeah sure.
But they've been... That has been the Bullet Club the entire time.
Yeah, but...
There's been 29 people in the Bullet Club in 5 years.
But they're not all still there.
Well, no.
You know what? He may be right. They may still be there. Because every time... there's a couple people
I
follow.
I'm pretty sure they kicked out Bone Soldier.
You know who I follow on... I follow on Instagram. I follow Muffin30Ass. Ever since that one video we watched where they were talking about,
wait a minute. What did we watch?
It was clips of just wrestling and it was from a New Japan. I think it was a New Japan show. And it's, I think they're called the Tokyo Pimps and their valet is to the Tokyo Latina.
Oh, the rabbit
girl. And
it said,
you can follow her at like Muffin30Ass. I was like, that can't be real.
Wow.
And then I followed it. And like, I'm like, okay, so is she in the Bullet Club?
No.
Who the fuck is in the Bullet Club at this point?
The thought that I had is probably the worst thought I'll ever have, which was, they gave her a name? I didn't mean it like terribly. I just meant like in the sense that like, name one of the Godfather's hoes.
Victoria.
Damn it!
I hate you both.
You got me.
Name three of the Godfather's hoes.
Lita was one.
No. I mean, I'm not. No.
Victoria was another.
You're missing the point.
So I know who you're talking about now. But no, they've gone through a lot of members. They have. But no, I originally assumed they were going to do the Bullet Club versus the Elite first.
Yeah.
Have Cody split off from the Bucks and Kenny and all of them. And become the new leader of the Bullet Club proper. Because now it's like this weird thing where like Tama Tonga is kind of stepping in as like de facto, like, hey, the Bullet Club is more than just you four.
Right.
Like, or the new six. So, like, there's...
Well, he's right. There's an army
of them. Oh, no, yeah. And he is.
Literally.
And I...
What about Muffin Ass?
She's not in the Bullet Club.
She has Bullet Club on her leg.
I mean, so do a lot of guys.
I own the pants.
I'm pretty sure, when the Tokyo Pimps come out, they have Bullet Club, they're doing the Too Sweet, and I'm confused. I'm like, are they in the... I don't know.
They're official members.
I don't know.
But yeah, no, that's...
Are we in the Bullet Club?
Captain Fukin New Japan isn't anymore.
No. Anyway.
Captain who?
Captain Fukin New Japan.
Fukin New Japan?
Finn Balor hates Captain...
That sounds like a 100 bit.
Finn Balor hates Captain New Japan. So he always just calls him Captain Folk in New Japan. It's his way of saying it's like a
Alicia Folks. Moving on. We gotta move on.
But yeah, no, the Bullet Club is straight up just
standstill.
It's become a parody of the Bullet Club. Like Gallows and Anderson flat out have said that before whenever they were a part of it.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, no, we're stealing all of Kevin Nash's stuff.
Yeah, but a lot of the kids, they don't know that. They think the Bullet Club is just the most badass thing.
And that's what makes it great.
They wear the t-shirts. They're like, we're the cool, the elite. And it's like, you're actually a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately a joke.
I own so many of the shirts for that reason.
Gay.
You doing all right there? So we're going to Ring of Honor Supercard, right?
Gail Kim had a retirement match.
Yes.
What a storied career she had.
I'm really.
I know that sounded sarcastic.
It really did. Like, I was like, why do you not like Gail Kim?
No, I love. She was one of my favorites. I hated the Matrix character they developed for her in WWE originally.
Yeah,
that was bad. But she did a great run in TNA. She was their Knockouts champion. She led the charge.
Her and Awesome Kong like really revitalized women's wrestling in the U.S.
Yeah, before the stupid women's revolution that Stephanie created completely on her own. Gail Kim was doing it. And my favorite Gail Kim moment, though, and it always will be, and you know what it is, yes. When she eliminated herself from the WWE Battle Royale for the mm-hmm. women and just left and quit the company.
Yep. She knew no one would notice.
Yeah, she just left, and it was like, hey, where'd Gail go? She's over in TNA now.
Yeah, so she had her last impact, her last like televised Impact match earlier or late last year,
mm-hmm.
and then this was her, it was over in the UK. She had her actual final retirement match. Which is good for her.
Yeah.
Like, again, someone who deserves a happy retirement and has given so much to
wrestling.
Also
super young. I think Gail Kim's maybe in her 30s, maybe 40.
I think early 40s.
That I don't know.
I want to say early 40s.
She is 40.
Okay.
That would be early 40s, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The earliest of 40s.
Still counts.
Zero hour.
Keeps just stealing the things I want to say.
Planeta Wrestling reports that a Latin American tournament will be taped this summer for the WWE Network. Meltzer confirmed it, but William Regal says it's not happening.
Yes. I just think that, like, it's kind of an interesting thing where it goes back to that, you know, the credibility of Meltzer, where he kind of likes to sometimes preemptively, like, confirm things.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story a while back of someone took a picture of the Intermission logo over in the UK and sent a joke saying, hey, this is the new UK pay-per-view they're going to put. And he ran that as like, oh, yeah, no, I've heard that. It's like, it's called Intermission? I don't think that's true. So, but William Regal said that there's not one currently being booked, which is so like weirdly such a specific term.
Right.
That it's like, I mean, they might be considering doing one. I kind of hope they, like, on the one hand, I think that could be cool. On the other hand, don't do that because we've seen what happens with regional tournaments and getting people's hopes up about awesome matches and stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about. I love the UK show.
Yo, yeah, no.
That weekly show.
Every week.
That they have. Anyway, lastly but not leastly.
Oh, for real?
I was waiting for Ace to say, well, just one more thing, real quick, because you do that.
I mean, we still have Shredded cover.
I know we do, but I thought maybe there was one thing I missed because I miss stuff all the time.
I mean, do we cover Corey Graves, Booker T?
What's that?
We want to talk about
the Booker T thing. So, I mean, it's more or less confirmed. No, because the show, it was more or less confirmed that Booker T is literally doing this for Corey Graves' benefit to give him heat on his exit. Like he basically told, from what the report I read today was that he's doing this on purpose to kind of give Corey kind of a boost as like that heel of commentator.
Right.
But that it's all just,
I assume like it's one of those things.
Did you listen to the actual interview that he did? The radio show.
I don't listen to the heated conversation.
Okay. See, and that's the thing. You lose a lot on the text.
Right.
Because listening to him talk about, because he did two. There was one on his show and then the first one, which was on another podcast. The one on the podcast was, it very much seemed like he started it jokingly and then like was crazy and kind of got himself worked up, because what the message he was trying to get across is, yes, Corey Graves is a college educated person. He's very smart. I'm a fighter. So if it came down to me and Corey, I would beat his ass.
It was much more threatening when he said it.
And then it kind of did devolve into like, if I catch him on the street, you know,
I'm gonna beat him like he owes money.
Right.
That's what like, he said. Yeah.
Stupid stuff like that. But there was also laughter. And he even said, like, WrestleMania's coming up.
And Corey Graves,
you know,
I'll
challenge him to a fight. Not a match, a fight. And it's just like, that's... And then Corey Graves, literally a week ago on the Edge and Christian podcast, said that Booker T is one of his favorite people in all of wrestling and how much he has learned from him.
Yeah, but did you catch the Corey Graves joke on Raw? That was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he told Coach...
Hold your tongue or you'll be...
doing, like, a public radio or something. Yeah.
Because Booker T has a public radio show.
Corey,
I liked his tweet better. The Sun Tzu Art of War.
Yeah.
Be not moved by the words of your enemy, but move them with your words. It's like, oh, snap.
So that's what I love about WWE. Let's tease matches that'll never happen.
Hey, speaking of, did you see SmackDown?
I did, and I saw the segment where Shane was talking to Brian about, I know what you want more than anything is to wrestle in this ring again. It's like, oh, my God. You're teasing it so hard.
Yeah.
Like, to the point
at this
that,
point, I feel like it's going to happen. Like, it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon.
At Mania?
Yeah. Or, like, because the stare down with The Miz on Raw 25 before he won the Intercontinental Championship back, which is the belt Daniel Bryan had to give up. Like, I don't know. I'm getting itchy.
You're getting itchy. He's scratching his beard over there. He needs some of that Greenhouse Beard Company.
I have some.
Oh, you do. It's a great company.
What was the other
thing? Okay, Megan. That's the one that did it to me when I on my Facebook post.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, does Megan have a beard?
No, Megan, I think so. Megan was the one that did it when I posted that picture on Facebook of like my sunglasses and beard.
Yeah, no. You're a spokesperson. It's fine. It's you, Mathis, and Billy.
I don't have any of their stuff. It's Asa has it.
Yeah, but you're the spokesperson.
But
which doesn't make sense. I had to pay for mine. Yeah, they just give you free stuff.
Why do they give you so much free stuff?
They didn't give me any free stuff. If there's free stuff that's given to me, I don't have it, and I would like some, please.
I'm trying to think of anything else. Like, it looks like Randy Orton is going to start feuding with Bobby Roode for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
That could be cool. I was really hoping that we would get, like, a double turn and get face Rusev against heel Roode.
Oh, heel Roode.
For the U.S. title.
Back to the bottom for Rusev. Happy Rusev Day.
Maybe,
let's talk about Stride.
Maybe they'll win the tag team championship.
Let's talk about Stride. Stride makes everybody happy.
Before we do,
yes! There it is.
No, I mean, like, just because I didn't know if there was other stuff you were wanting to talk about. But before we get to Stride, something I wanted to talk about last week, but we didn't get a chance to because we talked about everything else.
Brandon.
Forever.
Babwa.
The mixed match challenge.
Yes.
Don't care about it. It's whatever. It's happening. The best thing to come from it, though, is Braun Strowman. And can we talk about how wonderfully amazing Braun Strowman is as a performer? Because you have, like, it's two separate characters.
Yeah.
You have Raw Braun Strowman, and then you have Mixed Match Challenge Braun Strowman. I don't know which one is better. The answer is both. Because on Raw, you have the psychopath, I'm just gonna
kill
slam
things,
people
yeah.
and murder people. Rest in peace, Kane, who denied treatment and hid away from a local medical facility.
Yeah.
Heard he went back to hell. He needs to recuperate.
He's got to recharge. So you have, you know, just arms in the air, Braun, power slamming everyone in his path. And then you have Mixed Match Challenge Braun. Who, have you seen any of the videos with him and Alexa?
Yeah, they're great.
They're
you
so
haven't, Allie?
I've seen some of the stuff. I saw the one where they switched shirts.
The one
like
where
they gave each other shirts and
this is small.
It was kind of
it'll fit like a glove.
Him teaching her how to like he's like, okay, you're gonna flip a car. Then you'll work up to ambulances and semis.
Yeah. You need to get in the middle of it, get
the fulcrum point. Like Braun Strowman knowing what fulcrum is. Is just the best thing. Whenever she was begging off of, oh, who did they fight?
Zayn and Becky Lynch.
So yeah, her begging off of Becky and like, no, I'm making her think that she's winning. I believe you. I believe in you. Like, you can do it's so funny. The amount of personality that he has that you don't really get to see on Raw, it just makes me like so excited. Like, I just put the title on him forever.
Favorite apps on your phone. Places I pooped.
Maybe if he got the same kind of reaction like Roman did, then maybe.
He gets a better one.
No, there's nowhere near as many boos.
I got you.
So great. I love him. Forever.
I love Braun.
Oh, I hate Dalton. All right, guys, let's talk about Stride so we can go home and I can get back in bed so I can't sleep. So I did not get to go see Stride on Saturday. Which I wish I had, because maybe that could have been my last hurrah. But, yeah, I'll milk it too. You milk things, I milk things. I'm a cow milker.
Allie.
Is it green milk on a stupid Jedi planet?
And I'd suck it down and stare right at you. Green milk all over my face. What I did though, I did get to see Stride live online.
Starring Asa and myself.
Yeah, you guys were right in the back of the time. And I was like, I turned it on, and I was like, okay, let me see if there's Asa and Dalton. So the whole time I saw you guys. I don't know if they're gonna do this every show, but thank you, because that was fantastic. I love being able to watch the show since I was unable to attend.
Yeah.
I think it's something that they're working on.
Just like, for right now, that was John A. Logan College, is what
was
their people. He told us that.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's right.
Because we ran into him at the beginning of the show, and he told us, like, yeah, we're going to live stream it. The college is going to live stream it for us on their stuff. I think it's something they want to lean towards more.
Because that was fantastic.
Yeah, and it was super cool because, like, people that I would love to go to Stride, like you, but you guys are always doing stuff on the weekend. Derek Boxdorfer, like, he just had a child.
D-Boxy. Thanks for the shout-out on Reddit, by the way.
Yeah.
We know it was you.
Yeah, but, like, he just had a kid, so, like, he's not going to be able to go to as much wrestling as he used to, and he always said he wanted to go to Stride. So, like, it's one of those, like, it sucks, but, like, it was cool getting to text Derek during it and being like, yeah, no, this is what's going on with these characters. And
Yeah, it's the only bad thing about it. I can see them not wanting to do it, so maybe people don't just not go and they just stay at home and watch for
free. Brandon actually had a really good post about it on Stride's Facebook, where he was just like, he ended it amazingly, but he was just like, I would stream it like that, but stream it 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make the people, like, make you them want to show up, and if they can't, that's how they get to watch it.
Yeah. Right. But you haven't booked me or anything. It's basically how
you have it. But at the same time, who am I? You haven't invited me to wrestling show yet.
Brandon. love that man. But no, I love, like, Stride's so much fun. We always have a good time.
My personal favorite was the Raging Redneck.
He's so strong.
Personal favorite.
So, yeah, we're going to get into a side tangent really quick. So, Nate, one of the wrestlers at Stride was sitting behind us, and is doing everything. Cause it was like Ace Hawkins' wife was right behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
girlfriend.
Or girlfriend. Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't think it was.
I don't know. I assume.
You can't tie down Ace. He flies too high.
But, it was her. And then it was, Red Daniel, which it was weird not having Red there, but his girlfriend and, her family, they were behind us. And then Nate was sitting.
What a very odd thing to say.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been there since the Buried Alive match.
He died.
He did. Yeah. He was buried alive. And then Nate was right behind us, and Nate was doing everything in his power to make us laugh because he knows who we are. So, like, during the Raging Redneck, he, like, threw Tony Flood into the corner. He's like, he's so strong and broke me.
Yeah.
I just looked. I was like, I'm going to need you to stop for a while.
But, yeah, the show itself was amazing. It started off with kind of some bummer news. Apparently, Chris Hargis is injured.
Yeah.
So I didn't see that part, but I did read about it, and that sucks.
So he had to vacate the Legacy Championship. So now they are doing a really cool thing where the winner of the Stride Cup, on top of winning the Stride Cup, will become the new Legacy Champion.
Yeah.
Which is super cool.
And right now it's between, well, after, are we going to break down each match?
Yeah. Cause the first match was, Magnifico versus, JD.
Yes.
Well, in a, semifinal match.
Semifinal. Yeah. Cause then the finals are next.
Yeah.
I saw that match.
Anonymous came out, like, in the middle of the match.
Yeah.
And then distracted JD. Magnifico was able to pick up the win.
Who the hell is Anonymous?
We don't know.
We don't know. So we talked to, Brian.
Richards?
Or no, yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently he has his own dressing room. He doesn't talk to anybody. He just shows up and wrestles.
Wait, Brian.
Richards.
Sleeveless?
Who?
He had sleeves.
He had sleeves.
Yeah, this was Stride's return of the sleeves because Mathis also had a sleeved shirt.
Temporarily.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't have to wait for Christmas this year.
The second match was a tag team match. It was, Joey O'Reilly and Aaron Brooks taking on, Frank Wyatt and Bo Sawyer.
I actually missed this match.
This was so good.
Of course it was.
Bo Sawyer is.
But I was there for the Raging Redneck.
Bo Sawyer with the line of the night.
So, kid on the entryway, is just booing the shit out of him. And then Frank Wyatt comes out and he has the, like, it's like a belt. I'm not sure what
it is. No, he didn't have anything. That's Frank is the one that.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. Frank came out.
Oh, yeah,
and like swung it at the kid, hits the back of the chair. And Bo's just like, he only swings at adopted kids.
Yeah. And that lot, like he said that I lost it. I don't know if it was one of us didn't catch it right away. It was like, what did he say? And then we said it was so funny. And Bo has just such great charisma. The match starts with Joey O'Reilly saying, hey guys, I know something about that guy. He, dyes his beard. Which, like, Asa and I at Stride, it's awesome. Cause, like, at CCW, early CCW shows, like, we were the ones starting chants, like, us, all of us together. And it was one of those, like, it was very early CCW for us where Asa just turns to me, gray beard like Goldberg. And I was like, hell yeah. And then we started it. And then it caught on like crazy.
Well, and then Aaron was like, no, better one. Just four men. Just four men. I was like, oh, that is better. but so they beat, White and Bo, but then, White and Sawyer, attacked them after the match. So Aaron had to carry out, Joey.
Yeah.
The other semifinal Stride Cup was Anonymous, beat Ace Hawkins.
No!
Anonymous dabbed on him.
Anonymous dabbed
like literally, he kicked out of a pin and then Anonymous dabbed on him.
Also, Ace came out to Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
Well, I hate him now because that's the worst song of all time.
It is.
Whenever the show's done, I'll tell you why he comes out to that song.
Tony Flood then beat the Raging Redneck.
I saw it.
So you saw that.
He's so strong.
Was the Raging Redneck replacing anyone, or did they actually say, we need, you know what this show needs? A redneck who's angry. Tanner wasn't available.
That I don't know. Heath Haddon and Axe Allwirt beat the DR Party and Scott Phoenix, who was making his debut following his crippling shampoo injury.
I did see the opening segment where Heath, yeah, I know, Allie just showed it to me. We'll talk about it here in a second. I saw the segment in the beginning where Heath beat up Beauregard. Oh, wasn't a fan of that.
No, that was,
wasn't a fan of that. Beauregard, he has the velveteen touch of a dandy fop. And you don't mess with that.
The reason I wasn't a fan of it is because we got neither a spear, a power driver, or a power bomb.
Yeah.
So.
What about a power spear?
Yes. I wanted all of the above.
You're going for the D answer.
Strike his fancy. Strike his face.
Is that a t-shirt that's coming out?
No, it should be.
Strike his fancy, strike his face.
But so since Heath and Axe won, they get a tag team championship match next month in Christopher, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had the Stride Rumble, which Tony Flood won after he hid under the ring and eliminated Mathis, who had just eliminated...
Raging Redneck.
No, it
wasn't Redneck.
I can't remember who Mathis had put out.
Was it he?
I think it was Heath.
Yeah, it was Heath. Heath. Yeah, yeah.
And so Mathis was just finished with that. Tony comes in and dumps him over the ring. Then realizes, oh, I just made Mathis really mad.
Yeah.
And then ran, which is smart.
I mean, it's good that he won, but is the victory worth it?
I mean, for me, yes, because I get to see Tony Flood wrestle J. Spade.
And you can see Tony Flood possibly get murdered by Mathis.
I mean, it's going to happen, more than likely. And then, the main event was J. Spade beating Bull Bronson by disqualification after Mathis made his, presence felt, we'll say.
Big pause. And then Mathis puts his hands,
and then he puts his hands on Kevin.
Everyone keeps putting their hands on Kevin Huntsberger. Personal friend. We've hung out.
Well, the last show
are going to be doing something with Kevin Huntsberger pretty soon.
I don't know. My show is going to come up soonish.
Yeah, we don't have a time frame on the other one.
Yeah.
But we'll keep you guys updated, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always fun to work with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin's just an amazing guy.
The only thing, in case it airs before our next PWU, he's doing a new podcast, Fully Gimmicked, I believe is what he's calling it. Mm-hmm. It's off of My 1-2-3 Cents, and his first episode is going to be Gold Dust, which I have talked about how much I love Gold Dust on the show, so I'm going to co-host that one with
him. That you said podcast.
Did I say it like that?
Yeah, you went very British.
Well, it's Kevin, so I need to be proper.
Classy, yeah.
I'm not going to be used to that. I'm so used to this.
I ain't classy.
you're so pretty.
Thank you.
You're my
I'm a 100.
Yeah, you're a 100. Yeah.
So Stride was great. Ace is typing away on his phone, but I'm making sure we had anything else to say on Stride. Yeah,
no. I love it's the things going into it. I'm excited for Anonymous versus Magnifico. Yeah,
we'll see if there was anything for the next show announced.
They're gonna do. We know it's gonna be Tony versus Jay. We know it's gonna be Heath and Axe versus the DR Party for the tag team championships. The Stride Cup finals. So it's going to be,
Anonymous versus Magnifico.
Magnifico. The other match that I don't think has been made official yet, so I won't give that away if that's what they're doing or not. But the only other thing that I really wanted to talk about Stride was the family that was sitting in front of Dalton and I.
You were a fan of this.
It was the best thing because, like, so as much fun as it was, like, with, like, Nate and,
like,
Ace's girlfriend and Dan's girlfriend, behind us, the family in front of us, it was a mom and a dad and then two little girls, probably between the ages of like 8 and 10 at the oldest. And as the night progressed, they got more and more and more and more into the show.
And it was like, it was two sisters. I think the younger one was the one sitting further away from us.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't as into it. Like, she was getting into it.
Right.
But the one that was right next to Asa.
Mm-hmm.
Is like yelling at it, and like it was like the second or third match, and the dad just leans over, looks, he's like, "You're really getting into this, huh?" Which made all of us laugh. And as the night went on, like it was one of those things. Like as we got back to the car, I was like, "So the show was great, but that little girl in front of me made me re-love wrestling." Like just things like that.
Just because it was the match with Jay and Bull. Like she was begging, and Bull's a good guy too, but she was begging Jay to stay down because she was convinced he was going to get hurt, like for real hurt.
Yeah.
Those are the best fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so, being where we are now with like wrestling and like
knowing people and stuff like that, like we can enjoy wrestling from a different aspect. Mm-hmm. But I haven't loved wrestling like that.
Yeah, we'll never be that again.
Yeah, like 18 years ago, Dalton loved wrestling that much. And like, I'll never get back to that, which sucks.
Right.
But getting to see that was just like, this is why we're here.
Yeah.
Was that. And it was so cool.
We do it for the shorties.
I don't want to say it like that, but sure.
They're short. The kids. All right. So, before we get out of here, I want to send a thank you to Caleb Tripp, because Caleb Tripp just posted a series. Caleb Carter. I get him confused.
I'm pulling it up.
That's why, you guys keep laughing at your phones, and
Caleb Tripp, you let me down. You should have came up with this first. Caleb Carter beat you to it. He made a series of Valentines for the holiday. And I'm one of them. Mine says you're my 100.
Picture.
It was the terrible picture you took of me.
It was not a terrible picture.
I looked like I feel now. Yeah, so thank you for that.
Just scroll down.
The best one's Van, obviously. You're the man, and you are.
I can't wait for Sarge to find out all the things you've said about him.
He'll never find out. He doesn't know what the internet is. It's a series of tubes.
From what I've seen and what you met him messaging you, he doesn't.
As long as Dubs doesn't tell him, he won't know. Yes. So Jason, don't say a word. Also, before we get out of here, I just want to say thank you to everyone that sent well wishes over the weekend for me. I saw that today.
I was handing him the phone back.
But I want to say thanks to everybody that was concerned about me. And a lot of CCW fans had messaged me and posted on my wall concerned about my help. I appreciate that, and I wish I could give you good news. I guess I can. They say it's not my heart. That's the good news. The bad news is they don't know what it is, and I'm still in a lot of pain.
Well, I mean,
I'm in pain right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, yeah, no, but like I told you with my mom, like she literally had the exact same thing happen 2 years ago almost, where she had she thought she was having a stroke because she's never had a stroke before, and she was in a lot of pain. So they took her to the ER, and they were like, no, you just have high blood pressure. And she was in pain for a couple days after because like she just kind of had an attack.
I'm hoping that I never have a stroke. That's the goal.
Yeah, I also was really happy when my mom didn't have a stroke too. Like it was the same feeling of like, okay, because believe it or not, I don't want you scaring us like that anymore. Because
I didn't like scaring myself for a guy that runs around talking about how much he wants to die. When the moment it was like, hey, you might die, I like cried. I was like, oh, I don't want to do that.
It's almost like you should. I don't want to do that.
By the way, if you are any sort of medical professional, and someone comes in exhibiting symptoms, the one thing you don't say is, oh, damn, you might die.
Like my brother did. Yeah. Same age as you.
That's not helpful to anyone involved.
I'll talk about it more tomorrow. Believe me, I will. I'm going to give the full story. But I was literally told that I could or would drop dead in 2 days if I didn't go to the ER.
Did they use the term drop dead?
Yeah.
Wow. Nope. Not getting into it. I'm out of it.
So that'll be tomorrow on Podzilla After Dark. And again, thank you guys so much for caring. It means a lot to me. A lot of you guys I've met you through CCW and you become very good friends. And the fact that you were concerned about my health means a lot. So thank you so much. And I will keep you updated on my progress. The goal is to not only get healthier, but also to look better, feel better. And by this time next year, when I'm standing in that CCW ring, if I am still, it'll be completely nude and I won't have a thing to be scared of. Nothing to be ashamed of.
Don't think that.
I'll wear a sock.
On your feet?
I'll have 3 socks. All right. So we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Is 1 foot really cold?
For Podzilla After Dark. It's going to be a great show. Asa, hit us with those plugs.
Go to facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Give us a like. Share the episode. Any people who, anyone that you think might enjoy any of the other shows too. Every little bit helps. Send us a message. We try to be engaging with our fans and anyone who wants to say hi.
Yeah, we are. We're very engaging.
You can go to patreon.com if you like us. patreon.com/Podzilla1985 if you like us enough to throw us a couple dollars our way to help
upkeep
us, general upkeep, and then also just some new equipment and things that we're wanting to work towards.
Right.
And then also Podzilla1985.com, where you can go and listen to any of our old past episodes. So older PWUs, Nerd Ups, any of the Tuesday or Thursday
presents.
Shows. Yeah.
Go back and listen to the originals when it was me, Zach, and Hunter, and it was just the term dumpster fire comes to mind. It was great, but it was different.
It wasn't a dumpster fire.
Oh, it was different, though.
Oh, yeah.
It was a different show.
It was more of a you guys were just talking, and then wrestling happened to show up.
And it was a lot of fun. Like, it was so much fun. But we've definitely come into our own with this cast. So I love you guys so much. And Dalton says he gets the final say on this one. So, yeah. Dalton, what do you have?
But who's the third sock?
Really? That's what you're...
I didn't want to look at Asa's face when I did it. So.
Yeah, you don't. You still don't. All right, so we're out of here.
Yep. Yeah, no, you don't get a bit. You stole it from me on Rusev Day.